Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Yeah, I'm going to begin this morning by going to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. And as I said during the offering time, we're in our series on accessing grace. Grace is free, but you have to access it. And so we just talked about, I'm trying to remember what we've talked about. We talked about how we access grace by faith. We access grace by knowledge. And then last week we talked about humility. This morning I want to talk about we access faith or grace by boldness. And we're talking about this morning. You know, people that are bold, I don't mean brass, but bold, things happen. Amen? Let's read our scripture and then we'll talk. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "Therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Wow, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace. And, you know, if you're going to flow in the grace of God, you're going to flow in everything that God has for us, it's going to require a level of boldness on your behalf. And my mind goes back. I remember when I heard about the gifts of the Spirit, what we call the nine gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. And I heard some teaching on those. I'm just a babe in the Lord. I would guesstimate I was under 6 months old in the Lord. Under that. Could have been maybe three. Two, you know, because I started preaching when I was 4 months old in the Lord. And so I was young and still wet behind the ears for sure. And but I had a desire. How many of you, the Bible says to desire spiritual gifts. Yes. See, the things of God, they will not work for you if you don't desire them. You just think, well, if the Lord wants me to have them, I'll have them. No, you got to desire them. Right. The Bible said covet them, desire them, so. But it was between a morning service. We had Sunday morning service and Sunday night service. And between the service, I began to talk to God about the gifts of the Spirit, you know. And I said, "Lord, just use me in the gifts of the Spirit." I'm just praying. And I didn't hear an audible voice, but you know how when God speaks to your heart and it might as well have been audible. It was to you. I said, "Lord, just use me in the gifts of the Spirit." And he said, "Okay, I will tonight." He said, "Sister Shannon is going to give a message in tongues, and I want you to interpret it." Boy, I sure hope God missed it. I meant sometime. I didn't mean tonight. You know, I'm looking like down the road, you know, maybe months down the road or a year down the road, 2 years down the road. He said, "Sister Shannon is going to give a message in tongues, and I want you to interpret it tonight." Boy, I sure hope that was wrong. I went to that service in fear and trembling. And I'm standing there, and I'm standing on the end of the aisle, you know, and there's an elder, one of the elders standing right beside me. He and I are standing together, you know. And sure enough, Sister Shannon gave a message in tongues. And nobody was interpreting it. Now, if you've been around Pentecost like I have, if you have 15 seconds of silence, they'll go home. They'll think you dismissed the service. And so, you know how in a time like that, 15 seconds seems like about half an hour. And that elder, I'm not kidding, I'm not making any of this up, he turned sideways and pushes me out in the aisle and said, "Interpret that." That's how God got me started on the gifts of the Spirit. But I had to be bold enough to do it. You know, I was timid, but he pushed me out there. I guess it wasn't wrong. I never got rebuked. Nobody left for Africa. Wasn't any strife in the church. What was the matter? I have no idea. No idea. I just was glad that, you know, I finally got introduced to the gifts of the Spirit. But all the things of God, you're going to have to be bold if you're going to step in them. You know, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're going to have to be bold. One of the meanings of, I think it's like, I can't remember where this comes from, but one of the meanings of bold means to dare to do it. To dare to do. Well, we don't just rashly dare to do things, but we dare to do what God has said in His Word. Amen? And so, one of the things that when you look at the Bible that marked Jesus' ministry is when He taught, they said He teaches as one who has authority and not as the scribes. He was bold about it. See, when you know what the Bible says, you can be bold. When you know God's backing you. Anybody ever watched, they used to years ago when I was younger, I think it was on Sunday evening, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. What was that guy's name? First name Perkins, wasn't it? Marlon Perkins. Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom. And you see this, you know, and I've seen this personal up close. You know, if you get too close to an elephant and that trunk comes out and those ears flop forward, you know. And I've been there and I'm like, you know, don't go any closer. We were in Africa one time. We come around this corner. And when we come around this corner, going down by the lake, might have been Lake Victoria, there was a herd of 50 elephants. They were just there, bam. It was a sight. I've got video of it. It's a sight to behold. It's like, whoa. I mean, I wanted to see one, but 50? There's about 50 or more right there. They were all together. And we were driving. Of course, we stopped. We got a little too close for one of them. He wasn't full grown, but he wasn't a baby yet. He was a teenager. And man, that trunk came up, those ears came forward, and he just let you know, you come any closer, and I'm going to let you have it. And he's big enough to do it. But you see, you know, that big mama elephant, you know, and you get too close, and those ears will come forward, that trunk will come up, and if you get a little bit closer, you'll hear, and you'll see the little junior guy standing behind her. He's about this tall. He'll step out from behind her and say, that goes for your dog too. He's bold. Why? Because he's got someone bigger in front of him. And we have someone bigger in front of us. We got someone bigger backing us. The Bible says greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And it's talking about the Antichrist spirits there in John. John talked about that there are many Antichrists now in the world. There's an Antichrist coming, but there's many now. And there's Antichrist spirits in the world. And he said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See, today the culture of the world fights against people like us. Tries to intimidate us. But we have to be like the children of Issachar, that we understand the times. And know the times that we're in requires boldness on our behalf. Not rudeness, but boldness. It's not a time to back down from the Bible. It's not a time to back down from the truth. It's a time to stand strong and stand and contend, like Jude said, for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Because we have churches, even in our own city, I'm sorry to say, that have backed away from the truth, have espoused ideas that the Bible says are an abomination. And aren't afraid to put it on their sign. We've got to be bold in return. Not arrogant, not rude, but bold to speak the truth in love. Amen. And you know what? I want to talk to you this morning about areas that we need to be bold in. But one of the things when they arrested Peter and John said, when they saw their boldness, they perceived they'd been with Jesus. See, that stood out in people's minds in those days. You understand, the people that arrested Peter and John were there, were alive, and knew about the ministry of Jesus. It was in the same time frame. And so they knew about the boldness of Jesus. They knew he was a bold preacher. Amen. He didn't whitewash things, did he? He was full of love. But you see, the idea today is that if you love me, you won't say anything that offends me. I've got to tell you something. If you really love people, you're going to say some things that offend them every now and then. If you love your kids, you're going to have to offend them every now and then. If you don't, you're going to have a terror on your hands. And when they get older, they're going to be in trouble because they got to be offended along the way. Amen. When I made that F in citizenship, my dad offended me when he saw that on my grade card. F in citizenship. I'm not fit to be a citizen of America any longer. And I'm just in fourth grade. And I'm already thinking about kicking me out of the country. Fifth grade told me, teacher said, you're going to be another Adolf Hitler. I'm glad he was a false prophet. I guess I had issues. You know, when you got them, you don't know it, you know. You just think you're normal. That was because we were going to tear the prom decorations down in the gym. They didn't think that was a good idea. Anyway, but I didn't think it deserved the Hitler comment. But anyway, how many know Jesus was bold, wasn't he? The Bible calls him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Proverbs says a lion is king among the beasts. He doesn't turn aside for anybody. That's what we're supposed to be like. We don't turn aside for the devil. Amen? The early church prayed for boldness, granted us boldness that we may speak your word. Paul told the church at Ephesus, pray for me that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There's something about boldness that causes us to access God's grace, access His blessings, access His favor when we're just bold enough to believe it. We're bold enough to do it. We're bold enough to act like it. Hallelujah. What if they don't get healed? What if they do? It's actually not our job to heal them. How many know that? We couldn't heal them that. It's just our job to do what God said to do. The Bible, I love it. I love it in Acts where it says, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. God, the old King James, wrought or worked special miracles by Paul's hands. All God needs is some hands. He doesn't need your input. He just needs you to obey, to be bold about it. Amen. Sometimes people are timid to share the gospel. Well, how do you know somebody's not going to get saved? Be bold about it. You don't have to be brassy. You don't have to be a know-it-all. Amen. But you know when God opens doors. Amen. And be bold about it. You know, don't say, you know, would you like to meet the Lord Jesus Christ just and be just like me? No, I don't want to be anything like you. Oh, I want to be like Jesus. People. Pastor Chuck will remember, he and I went to the same high school together. We had one guy in school. Now, there may have been more, I don't know. But there was one guy I was certain was a believer. Remember him? Lonnie Chapman. Now, I was a drugger. That's the crowd I ran with. That's who I lived with. That's who I ran with. That was my lifestyle. Lonnie intimidated me more than anybody else in high school. I mean, if somebody else tried to bully you, just punch him in the head. And if they were too big for you, you'd go find something to hit him with. How many know what I'm talking about? I wasn't a great big guy, so sometimes you have to find an equalizer. Baseball bat works fine. Anyway, but Lonnie, I would walk down the hallway. If I'd see Lonnie coming, I'd get on the other side. Because not only was Lonnie a believer, he was a bold believer. Everybody knew he was a believer. Amen? How many know if you're a Christian, people ought to know it? One guy said, if you went on trial, accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I mean, there should be some evidence. And when we're believers and we believe in Jesus, there should be signs that are evidence that we're believers. And I think many times the reason we don't have signs is because we're not bold enough to dare to do. We're not bold enough to pray for that person. We're not bold enough to witness to that person. We're not bold enough to speak to that person. And we can't, and you got to be bold if you're going to access the grace. Right. Come boldly to the throne. Don't come timidly. Come boldly. I said, come boldly. Now, Paul said this. He told his son Timothy in the faith, he said, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. What he gave us? He gave us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, the word fear there, where the Bible says God, in first, this is 2 Timothy 2:1, by the way, where it says God didn't give us the spirit of fear. It's the word. It's really a word that means timidity. I mean, it can be fear too, but it also means timidity. And that's, in other words, being timid. God didn't make us timid. Not as new creatures. Amen. I want to put up, if you would, Revelation 21:8. I want us to see this scripture. I don't want to turn to all these this morning, but I want you to see this. It says, but the fearful, now the word fearful there means, once again, that's a word that means timid. Now notice this, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I think it's something that the Bible puts the fearful or the timid in the same category as the unbeliever and the abominable and the murderers and so forth. Isn't that something? Now, why is that? Is being timid, is this like a real abomination to God? No, the problem is people, because of cowardice, they'll let people take them to hell because they won't be bold to live for Jesus Christ. I had to deal with that issue. I really did. When the Lord began dealing with me, when I, you know, first started dealing with me, or had been dealing with me for a little bit, but when my thought was, what am I going to tell everybody? How am I going to tell everybody? You know, and I never forget the night that I made up my mind. I wasn't going to care what people thought. We were in a bar, and there was a band. And the band was playing a song called On the Highway to Hell. Anybody old enough remember that song? Not a good song. And I look and I see people dancing, and all of a sudden it hit me, wait a minute. These people are dancing because they're going to hell. And I thought, and I'm letting them lead my life? That's when I made up my mind, these people ain't leading my life any longer. I'm going to follow my heart. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And it wasn't long after that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. But if I had to be bold with my friends. I mean, they didn't just walk off. They came after me. I had to be bold. Amen. One of them had to give him a track on Brother Hagin. It was a little booklet entitled, I Went to Hell. I said, here, take this and read this. Because he came to get me, and he was a bigger guy. He was a football player on the high school football team when you know, we were out of high school now, but he had been. And he was really good. He was big. He was tough. Randy probably knows who I'm talking about. He was big, tough. Matter of fact, our football team hadn't had a winning season in 455 years. Little extra jam put on that. But we didn't know what winning, did we, Pastor Jack? We didn't know what winning was until Bubba showed up. That's what we called him. When Bubba showed up, We played 10 games a season, and when he showed up, we won 7. Because Bubba was so tough and so strong, you could get, he was a fullback, you could get 7 guys on him, he'd just carry me in the end zone. One time, Bubba wanted me to go somewhere. And I said, I'm not going, I'm going home. No, I want you to go. I said, no, Bubba, I'm going home. He literally picked me up, put me over the back of the bed of the truck, and set me in the truck. And I said, okay, Bubba, I'm going. And we were real good friends. We were close friends. But my point is that, you know, I don't know what my point was now. I know I'm talking about boldness. But of all the people at school, you know, Lonnie intimidated me more than anybody. I stayed away from him. Because the gospel, I said the gospel, is the power of God. A guy got pulled over for speeding. Christians do that, you know. And he got pulled over for speeding and a state trooper pulls him over. And so, you know how that is. You know how intimidating that can be. You know, you get a little older, it doesn't intimidate as much as it does when you're younger. But when you're young, you're just learning to drive and you're just starting out. That's intimidating as all get out. Amen. You know, and so he's standing in the window and he said, you know, I broke the law, of course, you know, naturally. I deserve a ticket and all that. And he was respectful to the police officer, as you should be. He said, I felt about that tall. This guy looked like a giant out there. He said, but when he got done, I started sharing the gospel with him. He said, all of a sudden, I noticed I got that tall and he went down that small. Why? We don't really understand and we don't know. If we're believers, we've forgotten just how powerful the gospel is when it's shared with boldness and faith. It's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. So we have to be bold, everybody. We have to be bold. We have to be bold. Now, I want to just share with you as we close out. I want to share with you 5 areas we should be bold in. The first area we should be bold in is in prayer. The King James Bible, Jesus talked about importunity in prayer. Different translations will word it a little different because we don't, today, you probably haven't used the word importunity this week. Let me just say, how many used the word importunity this week? Greg, you would know Greg would be the one that used the word importunity. Never? Oh, you say never, never, okay. I thought you said you'd used it this week. Well, so the other translations will kind of try to tell you what it means. But the thing of it is, the word has more than one meaning. A lot of the translations say persistence, and there's nothing wrong with that. But one of the meanings of importunity is boldness. And if you remember the story was a guy had a friend come at midnight, and he didn't have anything to give him. And so he goes to a friend at midnight to wake him up to ask for something. You got to be bold to do that, right? You got to be bold to go to your friend's house at midnight and wake him up and say, hey, I need a cup of flour. You got to be bold, right? Because why? Well, that's just, you could wait. Can't just wait. But see, Jesus was talking about, there was a boldness about this guy that he went there and he boldly asked for something. Not arrogantly, but boldly. I think sometimes people are too timid in prayer.
That's good. Come on. That's right.
I remember one of our relatives one time, Phyllis will know what I'm talking about, was in surgery. Her pastor was there too. And a good man, but just does not believe in divine healing. You know, it kind of believe like, well, God could if he wanted to. Maybe he might, and then he just might not. And we just never know. Well, she's in surgery. And we're there. And the nurse comes out of the emergency room, and she's crying. Or the surgery. And she's crying. That's never a good sign when a nurse comes out to tell you something and she's crying. And she tells us, it doesn't look like she's going to make it. Well, I mean, that shakes the whole family up. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't expecting this. And so her pastor says, well, let's pray.
Fine.
Then he looks at me and says, you pray. Thank you, Jesus. Because I'm not praying. I'm not going in there timidly. Oh, Lord, ifeth thou can find, ineth thy good pleasure, to healeth our dear sister, wouldest thou do it? I'm not going in that way. I'm going in there and I'm gonna be bold about it. Not brass about it. You can't demand anything out of God. You don't need to. He's provided it. But I'm going to go in there boldly and I'm going to go in there and say, your word says, Lord. Amen. I'm claiming her healing. I'm claiming she's good. And she did live. Praise the Lord. Many, many more years out of that. Amen. She came out of it. Praise God. But I'm convinced if we'd have went on, and I don't mean it's offensive. I hope you understand. And not like I've got it all together and he did. And he's probably got Gary's together. I don't have. I'm just talking about one area. But I'm convinced if we'd have relied on his prayer, she wouldn't have made it. Somebody had to go with some importunity, some boldness. Your word says, this is what I'm going to have. Amen. I'm not leaving here till I have it. You know, I'm not going to leave here. I'm not leaving this place of faith till I have it. Remember, Elisha, or was Elijah in prayer? And he said, go check, see if there's a cloud, see if things happening. And the servant said, there's nothing. He said, go back. What was that? He was bold about it. He did it 7 times. Why? He wasn't leaving there until he saw something. That's what Jesus is talking about. Don't leave the place of faith. Don't leave the place of faith. And finally, the servant came back and said, you know, there is a cloud out there. But basically, he's saying, don't get your hopes up. It's only about the size of a man's hand. He said, you go tell Ahab he better get going because it's going to rain. So we need to be bold in prayer. Everybody say bold in prayer.
Bold in prayer.
Number two, we need to be bold in praise. Let's put up Psalm 66, 1 through 2. We need to be bold in our praise. I love this scripture here in Psalm 66. It says, make a joyful noise. Now, that phrase, make a joyful noise, that's all one word in the Hebrew. It took, you know, 4 words to put it in English, but it's one word in Hebrew. And the word means, listen to this, it means this, where it says make a joyful noise, it means split the ear with a sound. It means to shout or blow an alarm. In other words, sometimes we got to be loud in praise. Come on, how many of you older people remember the Motor City Rocker? Come on, anybody know who that is? Come on, who is it? Ted Nugent. Anybody ever go to a Ted Nugent concert? Did you hear the next day? No, I didn't either. I'm not making this up. I went to Ted Nugent concert. Next day at work, all I could do is go, huh, 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 huh. Am I telling the truth about it? He was loud. He believed in it being loud. He believed in turning it up. Boy, he cranked it. I'm surprised the guy can hear today. You know, he's a conservative today. Have you know that? He wrote a book called God, Guns, and Country. He's a wild man. Still is. That's what he believed in. You know what God? God believes that we should get loud sometimes in praise. Amen. Now, the next verse. Sing forth. Sing it forth. Don't sing it and it fall. Don't be like that lady told me one time. She didn't like the way we praise God. And she said to me, she said, I have a praise in my heart. You know, she didn't believe in getting loud about it. No. I said, well, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Amen. So you got to sing forth the honor of his name. Notice this, make his praise, and look at that. Glorious. So we should be bold in our praise. Amen. That doesn't mean we're loud all the time. Sometimes we're still and know he's God, but not all the time. Amen. Number three, we should be bold in our speaking. put up Hebrews 13. I want to read this verse to you. Bold in our speaking. Look what it says. Verse 5 says, let your conversation or your manner or your lifestyle be without covetous and be content with such things as you have. Now, he's not saying that you should never expect to come up. He's saying, Paul said this, and people misinterpreted. He said, I have learned whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Now, what Paul was saying was, I'm not changed by my circumstances. If I have abundance, I'm happy. If I have lack, I'm still happy. I still, you wouldn't know it. Right? How many like people like that, that they're steady every day? Right? I used to have a boss one time, and one day he's good, next day he wasn't. Pardon the word, but I hated to work for him because you never knew from day to day what kind of mood he was going to be in. One day he's in a great mood, next day he's off his bolt. Let your conversation be without covetous and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, notice God said this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say. Now notice this, he has said, so we can say, we can bold. How many know we can boldly say it because he said it? See, there's somebody bigger behind us saying this. It might be Psalm 60 says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. What's it mean? God spoke it and then I spoke it. See? So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We got to speak boldly. You know, sometimes, I wouldn't say that out loud. The devil will hear you. Well, he's the one I want to hear it. Amen. You're not going to do that to me, devil. Amen. See, so we have to be, there needs to be a boldness in our speaking. Amen. Well, you know, the doctor may say one thing, but God says another thing. God says another thing. You know what? The doctor told you what he found in the natural, right? But you found a promise. Amen. Amen. See, and so, you know, I don't know how this is going to take place, but I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Now, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. That's not my business, whether you're going to do a combination here of medicine and divine healing or all divine healing or whatever, but I'm coming out on the other side of this. Amen. Amen. Remember, I talked to you Wednesday night about Dr. Reginald Cherry. Remember that? Talking about Dr. How many remember Dr. Cherry? I think he's gone on to heaven, him and his wife Linda. But he wrote a powerful book called The Doctor and the Word. It's a great book. And, you know, Matt, if you go to a doctor, don't leave out the word.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Don't leave out the word. Why? Because the word is a sure cure.
Yes.
You ever notice on their, go in their office, they have a license to practice? They practice it on us. Try this, take this, see if this helps. You ever heard some of those drug commercials? You know that part that goes, it says, this might kill you. Your nose might turn upside down. Your ears might fall off. That's all the stuff you're not hearing. Come on now, I have heard it. I've heard them talk about some of the complications that could happen. I'm thinking, I think I'd rather have this sickness before that. I'm not knocking medicine. Thank God for stuff that works. Amen. But I'm just simply saying, I wouldn't put all my faith in that. Amen. So we have to speak boldly. Amen. All right. So we have to, let me say, we got to pray boldly. We got to praise boldly. We got to speak boldly. How many know we need to learn to give boldly? Well, I mean, there's times God will challenge you. Remember the woman, it's in Mark chapter 14, the woman that anointed Jesus' feet with that costly fragrance. All right, the Bible, the King James tells you how much it was, which means nothing to us because we don't know what a mite is. We don't know what a denarius is. We don't know, you know what I'm I'm saying? We don't know what any of that is. We don't even know what a meter is. You know what I'm saying? It's 12 kilometers. How far? Divide it by three. You'll get close. I know a little bit about that, but not enough to go very far. But I searched that out one time about how much that cost that woman. And in today's money, it was about a year's wages. Now, when I looked it up at that time, I'm sure that it's probably more than that now, but the median income in America at that time was, when this was years ago, I looked this up, it was $53,000 a year. That's what the average income, they said, in America was. Now, what woman has a bottle of cologne that costs $53,000? This girl likes perfume. Right? I mean, who spends that much money on cologne? I like good smelling cologne, but I won't pay for it. My wife tells me Brut smells just fine. I don't like it. I don't wear it. How many of y'all understand what I'm saying? This woman gave a lavish offering, didn't she? And then some of them, and it was Judas, said, "Why was such a waste made? This could have been sold and given to the poor." You know what he wanted? He was the treasurer, the Bible says. And he was a thief. And that's why he said that, because he wanted that money in the money bag. That really offended Judas. Because you read that in Mark 14, after she did that, Judas, I'm sure it was him, said, "Why was such a waste made?" The Bible says, the next verse says, he went out and betrayed Jesus. That offended him. $53,000 bottle of cologne. Jesus said, "Hey, leave her alone. She did what she could to anoint me for my bearing. And wherever this gospel is preached, this will be mentioned about her." We're sure talking about her today. She gave such an offering, we're still talking about her. Amen. And sometimes it isn't a large amount. It's the sacrifice you made, because we still talk about a woman that put in a widow who put in two little mites. Work, tongue. Why? Because Jesus said she gave all she had. I mean, that was a big offering. Now, in monetary value, was it big? No, but it was big in God's eyes. She sowed bountifully. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. He that sows sparingly, so it determines what you want, right? And bountiful and sparing isn't necessarily determined by the amount. It's determined by the ability. Amen. You hear this, and I thank God they do it, but sometimes you hear about sports stars or movie stars that gave $100,000 to the American Heart Society. Everybody goes, "Oh, aren't they generous?"
Come on now.
Are you kidding me? That's Starbucks money for them.
Come on now.
Wasn't anything. Thank God, the people that got it could use it. But I'm going to tell you, the person that gave $5 may have given more.
Come on now.
Because that is just determined by ability. Yeah. So we should be bold in our giving. Amen? All right. Now, lastly, number five, we should be bold in living our faith out.
Amen.
Look, let's put up John chapter 12. We'll close here this morning, but we should be bold in living our faith out. I don't care that my neighbor knows I'm a Christian and he doesn't like that. It doesn't matter to me. I'm in love with Jesus. Now, my neighbor, he's okay. One's okay. I don't know if the other one is or not. But one's okay with it. I've tried to talk to him about getting saved, and hopefully he will. Anyway, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. How many know that's Jesus? But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43, for they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. Are these people in heaven? I don't know. Says they believed on him, but they wouldn't confess him because they weren't bold enough to do it.
Come on now.
They loved the praises of men more than the praises of God.
Amen. Come on now.
They in heaven? I don't know, unless they got that right, because Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before the Father. Right. What's one of the qualifications of being saved? If you believe on your heart, confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. They believed, they were convinced He's the Son of God, but I don't want to get put out of the synagogue. Hey, I'd rather get put out of the synagogue and go to hell. Amen. So we need to be bold in our living by faith. I don't care who knows I'm a believer.
Come on.
I live hard for the devil. Why not live hard for Jesus?
That's right. Amen.
What are they going to do to you? They can't eat you. Amen. See, you understand. There's just elements, as we close this out, there's just elements that go into accessing God's grace. Boldness just happens to be one of those elements that we have to access the grace of God. Amen? Come on, did you get something out of that today? I mean, just a little nugget or something? Praise the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just not a bold person. Well, your personality may not be that way, but guess what? There's someone living inside of you that is. You got to lean over on Him. You got to lean over on Him. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a lot of things I never thought I'd get up before people and speak. The worst class I ever had outside of algebra, I think I hate this worse than algebra. I know Brother Teach, he's a math teacher, so. But was that dumb, stupid speech class we had to have. That was the stupidest thing. I but I didn't care for that. Amen. And I still, you know what? I still don't like to get up and talk in front of people. He said, well, you sure can't tell. You don't shut up sometimes. Well, no, it's just, you know, it's the only reason I do it is because of the anointing. Because there's a greater one helping me do it. Amen.
Amen.
You know, and so you got to understand your personality. You can do things. Maybe your personality isn't like that because you got someone helping you do it. Amen. That's not my personality. I just couldn't witness somebody. It's not my personality. Well, there's someone inside of you. It's His personality. And He's greater. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And so we need to just, if we're going to see God's power, we're going to see grace, we're going to see His miracles, one of the things we have to be is bold about it. We can't be backward about it because He said, come boldly. Amen. Let's all stand up. Thank God. Come on up, Jill. Thank God for His word and thank God for grace. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.